It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of the big ask. And yes, that ended with a K. Now, if we could get the opportunity to sit down with God, whether it be here in this life or maybe in the life that's to come, and just get to ask him questions that we would have the answers to, what would that be, Jeff?
Remember when you were younger, maybe you weren't a Christian, but you knew about God, and there were things you asked for. If there is something out there and you want, did you ever pray and ask for things, big things, like, I don't know, a pony or something, like a ray gun?
Oh, I'm sure, to be honest with you, I'm sure I probably still do that in some ways now. Not a pony or a ray gun, but whatever is relevant to, God, if you could just please bless me with $10 million, you know, something goofy like that, but right.
Isn't it funny? So what you're asking here is not necessarily God give you some material thing. It's something that has confused you or has perplexed you as far back as you can remember, right? That's where the big ask is, not give me something in regard to make my life easier or more simpler, but explain to me these mysteries that just forever surround you.
Mm-hmm. More of a question of wonder.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, man, we really do put God in more of a, oftentimes, a genie capacity, though, don't we? God, could you please just make my life more easy? Give me the things I need to be comfortable. And then when you really start to get into the Word and you're like, man, the truth's really not that comfortable at all.
Yeah, so I guess that's a good point, is that, are you prepared to embrace pain to get the answers you long for?
Man, that's always where my hesitation comes in, because I'm sometimes I'm ready for that and sometimes I'm not. But the further I go, the more I learn that, you know, hey, don't forget, when you get this, it never comes for free.
Never. Well, you see that in your marriage, because you had the big ask and she said yes. But before that, you knew it's not going to be all smiles, rainbows, and lollipops. Life is hard, and just mingling two souls together is difficult enough. But to join your wills and move in the same direction, what a challenge to do every single day. And it comes at great cost, pain to self.
Not only what a great challenge, but what a great absolute necessity to have God at the center of your marriage. Because if you're moving, I think oftentimes, and my wife and I have probably been guilty of this at the beginning of our marriage as well, moving according to our own wills. Maybe I want this and she wants that, and vice versa, to where if we have God at the center of our marriage and we're moving according to his will, there is no, well, what makes your will greater than mine? Well, absolutely nothing, to be honest with you. It's just my preference versus your preference. But if we're going based upon God's preference, that's where all the difference is, because then we can lean into and agree upon that commonality, right?
Yeah.
That never changes.
One of the fundamental differences, not all, but one of the fundamental differences in a Christian marriage and a other marriage is that a Christian marriage still has the tensions of I want and I will. But the difference is that together, that couple, a Christian couple, surrenders to the greater will, and that is God's.
Absolutely. Because if you're just going, like I just said, if you're just going based upon your will versus my will, what makes any of the will, like what makes one greater than the other? Mm-hmm. And I think that's often where differences and arguments are set up, and that the devil works his way in, is that, well, you want this, and that person's not willing to give it to you or help you get it. Why not? They're not your teammate. They're your enemy.
You don't care about me. Yeah.
And the other person's getting the exact same treatment on the other side.
All right. And then you get into your little silos, and then you have a divide, and you break up. You know, it falls mm-hmm. apart because it wasn't built on true love. It was built on true self.
Right. I mean, foundation is mm-hmm. so important.
Yeah. And a big test for a couple I often do is I ask them, you know, what are you looking for in a marriage? And mostly they tell me what they want to get. And I try and point to them, no, it's what you're going to give. You should not be coming in here to get something. You should be coming in to give. And if you do that, this will be beautiful. And if you do the other, you're going to destroy it.
Because when you're looking to give, you're going to feel much better, for one. And for two, than anything you get along the way. What a blessing.
Yeah, that's real love. And, mm-hmm. and then the total picture of that is what God has given us. So speaking of that, the big ask, what would you ask? And every child loves to get with mom and dad in their own time, their own space, where they say, Dad, how does this work? Like, what's this? What's that? So if you could do that with God right now, and there's these mysteries that befuddle you, what would you like to ask God and finally get the answers that you've been looking for? Like, are there some things, it just doesn't make sense to you. And you're like, what? Can you please sit me down and explain this to me?
I was going to say, before you get going, mm-hmm. I think questions like these sound fun on the surface, but is there things that we think we want the answer to that in totality we actually don't? Man, I really want to know how this works or how that works. And then you find out and you're like, dang, dude, that just ruined my peaceful, blissful ignorance.
Well, that's okay. There's a few nuances to this, and we'll move quickly. But there's whatever you know, you now have responsibility.
Yeah.
Is that aspect. And then there are things that not only are you responsible, but because of your new knowledge now, it opens a temptation to you. A good example would be, unless the poor child's been molested, you know, there's an innocence about children, and we go to great lengths to protect it.
Sure.
You know, they're not even curious about sex until a certain age, you know, where things begin to change, but there's an innocence there. And in the same way, like what you're talking about, is sometimes knowledge creates an appetite.
Mm-hmm.
The scary thought is that maybe God is protecting you, much like we do our children, from something that would destroy us.
Right. Like, no, you don't need to know that. Or maybe you don't need to know that yet.
Right.
You're not ready to know that.
So I'm hoping that, let's put in this context, we've died and gone to glory. We're given our new bodies and our new understanding. If you want to use the word enlightenment, we're still finite beings, but our capacity has been greatly increased. And so the things that would cause us to stumble or fall have been removed from our nature and from the world that we now, the heaven that we live in. Okay. So we're going to remove one of those.
All right.
So to me, well, one of them would be, we know that God is infinite and everlasting. He's always been. And so this is one of those that I've just sat there and just pontificated over, like, you know, what did God do before us? I mean, we on the whole grand scale of time as we know it, which there's one of the arguments, did the time begin when he made this creation? Whatever, fine, that's whatever. But what did God do with whatever you want to measure God's existence before time began? God, what did you do? Like, what, how did you spend your existence before us? Like, did you make other things? Because listen, we're now infinite beings. And so like in time as well, like him, in that we continue on. So whatever's going to be, we're going to still enjoy. But
you're kind of saying before creation.
Yes.
How did you spend your existence?
Yeah, if you don't want to call it time, fine. But yeah, what? And were you alone? Like, for example, were there other civilizations? I mean, certainly we know the angels were made before our creation week. So there has to be. And listen, God, part of his nature is God can't have a new idea. So he didn't go one day, oh, let's make man. You know, I have an idea. God is incapable of growing in his knowledge. That sounds kind of boring to some of us, but actually he's infinite. He's all knowing, all powerful, ever present. And so to me, it's not like this is, we're a nuance. We're not a new thing. We're just God doing what God does. Kind of like an artist with a paintbrush. He's going to keep creating.
So you're kind of wondering, like, has this happened several times over in different, maybe rather it be on a different planet or just in a different realm?
What if it's still this planet? What if this God just keeps starting over? I don't know, man.
And it's just like, here's the blueprints of what I do, pretty much. Here's how I make the painting.
Yeah. Some are going to say, well, you can't possibly fathom, and I don't disagree. I'm a finite being. You can't fathom what God did or have the time to hear it. No, I do have the time now because I'm going to move forever forward with God. So I have plenty of time to hear and let him open the books and open my knowledge and understanding. And with that, God, that's my next ask. Can you increase my capacity to grasp?
All right.
Because I assume this, the principles still apply. Ask and you shall
receive.
I assume, right? So I don't know. I don't know that, but I'm going to assume those things still exist. So I'm going to ask. I'll take the responsibility.
It's pretty fascinating.
And then, I mean, what do you got?
I think I would probably ask for full understanding of, well, see, that's keeping it kind of like in a earthly domain. Cause I was going to, like, if I were here and I could ask that now, I guess I would ask for full understanding of the gifts that I have, the spiritual gifts that I have. I feel like,
oh wait, so you want it now. You don't want it later. You're saying you're going back to your life now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Just to, to fully understand. Sometimes I feel like, man, I couldn't even tell you how I know that. I just know that. Or I feel like I know that at the very least. And so I go in that direction of where I feel like I'm being called or led, or I feel like I have a very good pickup of pattern recognition of, like, oh man, there's a pattern here. And to be able to put those all together, of just to be able to instantly see those pieces laid out before you versus going, oh, I only have three of these pieces, but I know I need five to finish the puzzle per se.
Okay. So you'd be asking for the maximum in regard to your capabilities so that you could fulfill your purpose.
Yeah. But then also I understand the story of Solomon, who kind of got exactly that and then totally misused it.
I think the problem, the problem Solomon ran into.
He became so knowledgeable and so brilliant that he almost in some ways thought he was God, right?
Well,
I no longer need God because I can fulfill all these things myself.
We see this in our own life. We understand the need for rules and boundaries, but sometimes we don't think they apply to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Solomon, in his knowledge, probably struggled to find an equal in his capacity to grasp the things.
Sure.
And that he had access to.
Well, imagine the temptation of, if you have this knowledge, the temptation of being able to say, I can easily see this loophole here where I can step around the rules or boundaries to get what I want or go where I want to go. I mean, what an incredible temptation.
It would have been. And I think that he ended up crossing some lines that God said, no, I know he did.
Sure.
That God said, you're not to cross. And I'm not going to say what those are. That's for another time. But he ended up, I think, I would argue, he came to value knowledge more than he valued God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was secret knowledge. It was things taught by demons. It was things that we call the occult. And it's honestly much of the occult, that the knowledge that this whole system operates under, has been extracted from Solomon. I can't believe I said that, but anyway, moving on. Yeah. So you got anything else? You want to know, for you, what makes Tyler tick according to God's design, so you can fulfill the purpose for which he put you here? Because that right now is fascinating you.
Absolutely.
I think you're going to get that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
I don't know that you're going to get it fully, but you're going to, I think you're going to fall into that real quick.
I also don't know that I don't know that I want it fully.
Oh, you want it. You want it.
Because you're
just afraid.
Exactly. I do want it. I do want it, but I'm always hesitant about it just because.
Are you going to deny it? Are you going to walk away from it? Are you going to say that's too hard, or I don't want to do that? Or you're afraid of what you may choose.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a season, potentially, like, oh man, I don't know about all that.
I think that's normal, man. I mean, do a Jonah, even a Moses. I mean, many of the people, Elijah did, had their moments where sure. the mission that God gave them was terrifying, and the responsibility and the stands that you got to take. Like I call it standing in the fire. You know, it's, where you're no, oh gosh, I wish I could remember the guy who said it. It was a book I read a long time ago, but it was so formational for me. And it was actually a very boring book, but this one idea was amazing. And he said that, how did he say it? God's looking for wicks to burn and the oil is free.
And the oil is free.
So you get to be his light, but, and you get to burn brightly in a way that brings glory to him, not to self. And you know, you're doing it right because when you do it, it comes at your own expense. Mm-hmm. You are being consumed in the expression of that light. It's beautiful. But it comes at a cost, and that's the part you're waiting to step into, because you know that knowledge and what you're wanting right now comes at a cost to you.
Sure.
If it's done correctly.
Well, also, like you said, the more that you know, the more you're responsible for. Right. So then you just can't do some things you once did or enjoy some things you once enjoyed. And I mean, that's a whole process in itself, right? Separating from those, like, oh man, I used to really like, I can't do that now. I used to really like that, but now I can't do it because I know this. And if I go against what I know, kind of makes you an idiot.
I'll try to put it in some silly terms that wrap our minds around. It's like we're a horse with a bit in our mouth. And we, if you can imagine, take our other set of arms we don't have, and we give the reins to our master, to God, and say, here, you tell me where to go. You show me what I should see. And so God tells you, you can go anywhere you want, but you should only want to go where I want you to go. Hmm. Yeah, it's one of those, it's like this tension. What's this? There's that Bible passage that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And listen, in our perversion, we see that one way when God meant it another. What do I mean by that? We take it as,
you're a Christian and anything your heart wants, yes, God will fulfill it.
Yeah, exactly. Versus follow your heart.
God's really saying here, delight yourself in the Lord, meaning if you're really a follower of me, your heart's going to desire what I want for you.
Yes. Yeah. And if you desire that, I will give you all you want. I just hate how we pervert things. It's like the devil at work in us, or maybe, I don't know, the same thing that led him to fall is in us. I don't know how that works, but
sure.
But I see it, whatever it is.
I mean, we're prideful.
Absolutely.
He was prideful.
Absolutely.
I think there are very, very many similarities. And I mean, just like we covered yesterday, aren't we born as enemies to God?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hot. We're hostile toward him. And there comes a point where.
Well, so why is that? I mean, doesn't that kind of say that naturally we're also imperfect and in some ways fallen beings?
I think that part of our nature in being a free will, independent, capable of making a decision is that we can and we're inclined to choose what is wrong, or AKA what is going to benefit us.
Sure.
As opposed to God and the greater good, we're more concerned about me. Like today, when I don't know what your habits are in the morning, but I bet you most of what you did today was first focused on self-care. Your first priority was to alleviate that pressure on your bladder, right? It's there's all these things that we have that they're actual needs, but the reality is everybody around you that you love, by the way, has the same needs.
Sure.
And so your first concern is, and I think that's why it tells you in scripture to love your neighbor
as yourself,
because we understand that we really care about me. And he's not saying love yourself. He's saying that same desire you have to care for yourself, care towards others. Right. And yeah. It's just a foreign concept to us.
I feel like that's something my wife is great at, man. She's a great example of that. She always, in our house, and out of our house, but is always, I feel like, putting people before herself.
Yeah, she gets hungry, so she makes everyone food.
Sure. I just feel like she makes sure that we're all eating before she eats, or she makes sure that everything's done and in order before she starts her day doing something else for her.
What's so cool, what you just talked about, is that it's in a marriage couple, both created in the image of God, both men and women exhibit attributes of God that are unique to their gender.
Mm-hmm.
So women tend to be very sacrificial.
Sure.
In their expression of caring for your needs. Men are too, though, like protection. You as the man, you're built different, and you're sure. thinking about protection and how do I keep them safe and keep evil out and all those things. So it's you've got both that, there's a tension there, and there is a tension, by the way. And it's beautiful when it comes together and you make it harmonize.
Mm-hmm. Because you can pull out the best gifts from both sides.
At the moment of need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think, man, where so many people are getting it wrong is living in unhealthy marital situations due to just not being on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Well, I think, again, instead of seeing the other's strengths as a conflict and trying to harmonize it, they see it as something that should be put down. And so because women, for example, are so caring, we're men here, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, you got suckered, you got snookered because of your compassion for somebody, and that guy took advantage of you and you gave him $5 and he went and bought booze with it. He really didn't have a need for food. He had an addiction to feed. And it's those kind of things where sometimes even the good in us gets exploited. And so instead of seeing how it can be used for good, we end up criticizing the other person.
Sure. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? It's unfortunate that person misused right. the good you did for them.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what you did was what you should do.
And I love that about you. And I love that you lived and leaned into, you know, that part of the divine spark that's within us all.
Sure. Because yeah. when you start cutting that down in those areas like that, that's going to grow into it being not as well used in other areas, right? Well, man, last time I thought I was being led to do some good, it ended up being, you know, negative, and I got some backlash for it, and I wasn't supported by my husband. So right. now I'm not going to do the good in this area that which actually needs truly done for the betterment of the family.
Oh gosh, so you just nailed something there. Is that, well, there's two things going on for a couple anyway that happens for individuals too. You actually may be meaning to go and lean into your God-given purpose, being led by God to do something. The problem is sometimes, A, we get in God's way. Mm-hmm. We make it about ourselves instead of him. And second, our spouse can also get in the way. And so the call that we're going to go do, we hijack it. And it does happen. And so sometimes it's not that God didn't lead us. It's that we got in God's way.
I think that happens quite often.
Yeah.
You got that we get in God's way.
You got any others? We're already a little bit in here, but what you got any others? I got another one. That this one's kind of dark a little bit though.
All right. What you okay. got?
All right. So I believe that there are, again, in these tensions of God that to us seem like a contradiction, like his love and his wrath, for example. It's one of those that perplexes people. And I want to know both sides because I want to know who God truly is. And so one of my questions would be, God, what in our finite capacity, there are things that we are unable to grasp by your design, but there's got to be some frustrations
yeah.
that he has towards us, because if we only knew this, then we would not do that, or we would stop doing I don't know. I think it would change us, but it might even destroy us. And I'm hoping that
would it?
I don't
would
know.
It, would it prevent us from not doing something?
I don't know.
Short of people seeing God appear right before their eyes and say, hey, knock it off. Are people going to stop doing what they ultimately and inevitably want to do?
I don't know. I mean, maybe if you knew the why to knock it off, maybe it would. Maybe. I don't know.
In some ways, we know why, and people still move forward. I mean, when I say people, myself included, we know, man, is that probably the best idea? No, but I want to, so I'm gonna.
Like, I will never smoke crack. Not because I don't believe the crack addict who says, oh man, it feels so good. It's because I know that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. I don't want a lifelong addiction.
Sure.
And no thank you. I know the why. Mm-hmm. No matter what it may give me, I am not interested. And maybe I could be wrong, but maybe if we knew the intricate why, we would not be tempted to do what even might even make us feel good or bring pleasure.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of people out here smoking crack.
It's true.
I'm saying.
So where I'm getting at in this is, God, is there something you wish we knew about you? Like, what would that be? And would you grant me again the capacity to not only understand it, but to do it in a responsible way?
All right.
Yeah, like,
and that sounds more like a prayer once again than you could probably get right now.
Maybe, but it is. So there it is. That's one for me. Another one with that though. So again, these tensions of his unconditional love and his oh my goodness, his scary wrath. Right there, they seem to be in conflict, but they're not. They're not. And this is going to sound really really weird for some, but when we get there in glory in heaven, one of my questions I would like, if God will permit me, I just want to visit for a second. I don't want to stay, but I would like to go to hell for a second.
Just to see how bad it really is.
Yes, because I do believe that hell is an expression of all of who God is, just as his love is. And there's parts that I want to understand about him that I currently do not.
All right. I don't know that I personally want to do that, but I have understanding for it.
And listen, I actually want to experience full body what it is. I don't want to stay. But I want to understand that side of him. Not because I'm a, what's that word? Sadist, masochist? Or yeah.
No, exactly.
It's not that. I want to understand who he is, and I'm willing to endure the worst pain to get it, to know it.
I feel like he could just tell me and I'd be cool with that. Like, hey, that's really bad. You don't want to go down there. All right, that's cool. Sounds good.
You got one more and we'll...
How about, this is kind of a two-parted one, but I guess a good question to me would be, what makes you choose somebody?
Mm.
Like, what decision, or how do you come to the conclusion of, this person's just chosen to do whatever task this is? What makes you make that decision?
Why
is it this person and not that person?
Yeah, why did you choose King Saul? Because clearly you saw something in him that by the way was corrupted because you ended up rejecting him. But there was some spark you saw in him that you also saw in King David later, right?
Right. Who wasn't rejected, but right, still
fell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, every man or woman you ever use were imperfect people too. So yeah, that's a great question.
Or this would be another question I had to kind of go along with that is, what makes you decide when enough's enough? When you bring a rebuke against your people, or you bring a punishment to your people due to our wickedness, mm-hmm, what is like the final straw where you're like, that's it. Y'all done did it. It's coming down.
Yeah, I think you even know yourself. I bet you you have a greater tolerance for your youngest than your oldest. I bet you.
I do, actually.
Yeah, I see it. So, you know, I think that's
because me and my oldest are so similar.
Yeah.
Like, we're like the same people. So when I see my own negative qualities come out in her, that just like,
mm-hmm,
I'm just like, no, 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 don't have that.
You know, and I wonder, there's a great question here on this is, so is that nature or nurture? Like, did she pick that up from you watching you?
Probably.
Or is it passed on? Like, part of who we are is actually because it came from you. Just like God made us in his image,
sure,
he so designed us that when we come together and have our offspring, they take on, because I see it in my own kids.
Our image. Kind
both my boys are me, but they are different parts of me.
All right. Now, see, I feel like my youngest is much more like my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms
just that
of
sweet
qualities. Mm-hmm. And
not that mean person like the other one.
Yeah, not like me. But to the contrary, my oldest then has these
that ornery side.
She is ornery, but fiery.
Yes,
is
curious,
motivated, mm-hmm, curious, mm-hmm, is gonna get it done if she's into it
and pushes the envelope.
Absolutely, yes. So some of those I'm just like, man, that grinds my gear. Because it grinds youngest, my gears about
youngest,
me.
You go, there's the boundary line. Don't cross. Okay. Okay, yep. Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough... it is, man. Because like I said, when I see some of those things, I'm like, man, these are all things I'm trying to work out of myself.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have to work them out of you. Just right. Don't have them.
Yeah, it's like you almost wish that you could have worked out the kinks in your life before you had kids so you could give them the better of you.
Yeah, but I wasn't even... I had no concern with doing that.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even surprised. Like when Joshua said he wanted to go into ministry when he was in middle school... When he was first born, I raised him up and I gave him back to God. Like I was so conscious of it.
That's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do believe that there is something that takes place there in the spiritual that you can't with our scientific model replicate, but that's where you see in the Hebrew, practice, they would dedicate their firstborn to the Lord. And that's what I was doing. Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because she's got great leadership qualities, very smart, sharp.
I don't want to say I didn't dedicate Caleb too. It was just different. It was, yeah, it was a different dedication. It was
to where I feel like my youngest doesn't have as many of those qualities. She has more of the sweet, gentle, compassion type qualities.
I think what we're saying in all of this is that our God is familiar and mysterious.
Yeah, for as much as we know, we also don't.
There's just so much we don't, and I'm so glad, because a God you can grasp and understand isn't God, and it demonstrates, for as smart as we think we are, how dumb we really are, and how we actually need someone to keep our aquarium clean, because we would destroy ourselves. We are what we are to God. It's what an amoeba is to us.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, it's but the difference is God actually values that amoeba, where maybe we see it as a problem. But if you think about what we've done in our desire and exploration to try and find life in space, and how excited we are if we even find a bacterium or something, we're like, oh wow, we found life. God is so excited about us, even more so, that he would call us sons and daughters.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. to you. Can you see it too? Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to you.